Welcome, and thank you for joining us today for There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. These next few minutes could very well be a divine appointment the Lord has for your life, as you hear what He has to say to you personally, and as you trust in the hope that He offers to you in Jesus Christ. And now, let's join Dr. Howard as he shares God's Word with us today.
Here we are again together on There's a Hope podcast. I was thinking just as we were coming together that our emphasis here is upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He is our only hope. There is a hope in Jesus. I know all of us are aware of what's going on around the globe right now. There are a lot of hot spots. There are a lot of threats being made. And the greatest chatter that is going on is about a potential World War III breaking out on this globe very soon because of certain things that have happened between countries over in the Middle East. That's why we need hope. And we have a hope, and it's in Jesus. And I am so thankful the Lord has given us His Word. Where else are you going to turn to right now? Who else are you going to turn to right now? All I can tell you as a believer, that God is in control. And as the song, Have Faith in God, says, He cannot fail. He must prevail. And He will. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So we're back to getting into the Word of God. We're going to hear from the Lord. These words are still alive, active, and sharper than a two-edged sword. And as we get into the Word of God, let me give you a word of encouragement. Did you know that we can read the Word of God and miss out on the most important part? Let me say that again. We can read the Word of God, but miss out on the most important part. What's the most important part? Reading the Word of God? No, the most important part is spending time with the God of the Word. There's a difference there. You see, we're not called to just be fact gatherers of truths that are in the Bible. We're called to have a divine encounter with God. Because the Word of God is not an end in itself. God never intended for the Word of God to be like that. What the Word of God is for is to stimulate within us the call to interact with God Himself, to connect with Him, to be joined with Him, to have fellowship together with Him. So we're going to do that today. I pray you will enjoy the sweet fellowship of the Spirit of God, who is the author of the Word of God, as we move toward a different subject from where we have been, and yet it's all linked together. And you'll see that in just a few minutes. Now, do you ever recall when you were growing up hearing people pray in Christian gatherings, maybe in a Bible study class, maybe in a worship service, when folks were called upon to pray publicly? Did you ever catch on to any phrases when you were growing up that it seemed like a lot of people would pray at the end of their prayers? I've been at this almost 7 decades now in my life, and it's like super glue. It's stuck to me, and I'm still hearing this prayed today. People will get to the end of their prayers and they will say, lead us, guide us, and direct us. In your name we pray. Or some will pray, lead us, guide us, and direct us in the way you would have us to go. Amen. So I got to thinking about those words this week. Lead us, guide us, direct us. And not only did I get to thinking about those words, the Lord led me in my scripture time in the mornings to verses that had these very words in the passages that He drew my heart to. Let's look in the Psalms just for a moment. And let me just say, if you have never spent much time in the Psalms, there are 150 different Psalms. You ought to get into the Word of God in the Psalms. You say, why should I do that? Well, let me tell you, they are important. They are repeated all through the Scripture, even in the New Testament. Even Jesus referred to the Psalms when He was on this earth. You say, well, what are the Psalms all about? Here's what I have found them to be all about. The Psalms arose out of actual experiences in people's lives and what they were walking through. Some days they were on top of the mountain, and other days they found themselves in the valley. But I never see where the spotlight is put on the individual, but the intention of the Psalms is, regardless of what people were going through, their hearts were being drawn to pursue the Lord and to take whatever they were walking through to Him. And that's where we get to these words. Psalm 23, we're told in verse 3, He restores my soul. But here's the next part. Speaking of the Lord as our shepherd, He leads me, or He guides me, in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Hold on to that word. He leads me, or He guides me. Do you need the Lord's leadership and guidance in your life today about something? Personally, I don't see how Christians can live going for an extended period of time where they never would need God's leadership or guidance. That's something we need every day. Look over in Psalm chapter 25. It says in Psalm 25, beginning in verse 4, "Show me Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Guide me in Your truth, and teach me, for You are God, my Savior, and my hope is in You all the day long." Then look over in Psalm chapter 27, verse 11. "Teach me Your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." Did you pick up on those words? You want to know how personal the psalmist, plural psalmist, not just one, plural, how personally they looked upon their relationship with the Lord and the things that they wrote down, the Spirit of God preserved for us? Here's some things I picked up on. Lead me, guide me, teach me, show me, keep me, deliver me, instruct me, answer me. That was the cry of their hearts. You know what? That is the cry of multitudes of believers' hearts all over this world at this very moment in which we are gathered together. There are people that are crying out to God, "Lord, please lead me today. Lord, please guide me down the path I need to go. Lord, please teach me today. Please show me today. Lord, please keep me and guard me and deliver me and instruct me. Oh God, please answer me." You ever prayed prayers like that? Yes, I know you have. Well, let's just pull over to the side of the road. Let's have a Selah moment today, and let's talk about this matter of the great need of God to guide us and teach us and lead us and all these other things we've talked about. Let's take a moment and think about when you are planning a big trip to go on. There's basically two ways you can plan a trip that you've never been on before. The first way, what would you do if you were going on a trip you'd never been on before? Well, the first way to approach it is, number one, get directions. Number two, take time to study the maps. Number three, listen to someone who personally knows how to get where you're headed. Number four, when you get out there on the road, follow the road signs. Number five, during the journey, if you encounter problems, maybe because of an unexpected detour or the rerouting of traffic, be willing to pull over and seek help and ask someone to give you some clear directions to guide you on how to get from point A to point B. And while you're at it, enjoy the journey along the way. Oh, by the way, one day when I was making this list, I inadvertently put down toward the end of this list, and this is something every man needs to listen to today, make sure you listen to your wife. I'm serious. When you go on a trip, make sure you listen to your wife when you're needing help and how to get there. I was led the other day on a social media site to an interesting quote, which kind of sums up what I just shared. I got a chuckle out of this. It said, "When you find a good wife, you not only have a best friend and companion, you also receive, free of charge, a driver's education teacher for life." Well, I know that's just a little bit of fun there, but it's true. We need to learn to listen. But here's the other way you can take a trip. Don't take time to get directions. Don't take time to study the map. Don't listen to anyone who personally knows how to get there. Don't follow the road signs. Make them up as you go. Strike out on your own and say, "Hey, we're going to do the best we can, and you know what? Eventually, we'll probably get there." And then be miserable all the way there on your journey. And by the way, don't listen to your wife. Those are the two ways we can approach going on a trip we've never gone on before. Did you know there are a lot of Christians who live like this? Some getting direction, some getting guidance, some allowing the Lord to be their teacher in life, some allowing Him to instruct them in the Word of God. And then there's other Christians who say, "You know what, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And if it suits You, let me know. And if it's not Your will, just stop it." I've heard people pray that, not expecting that God would stop their plans. Well, that's no way to be guided. That's starting out with our agenda without ever consulting the Lord. And by the way, that's not taught in the Bible. You say, why is that? Because that's not how God operates with His children. It's like saying, Lord, I've got this, and I'll let you know if I need any help. You ever lived like that? How many decisions every day do we make and never consult the Lord, never even think about the Lord? Keep in mind, He wants to be included in every area of our life. You say, well, Mark, that's the desire of my heart. Well, let me share with you that if it's truly the desire of your heart, you've got to determine that you want to live like that. Share that with the Lord. Lord, I want to begin to include you in everything in my life that I do, that I think, where I go, what I spend my money on, how I treat people, how I act at work. I mean, I could go on the rest of the podcast making a list like that. Yes, that's how much the Lord wants to be involved in our lives. Keep in mind, we're just a week away from where we celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I will always cling to that old, old hymn. In fact, my wife told me the other day that's one of her favorite hymns. It says these words, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. So we're going to talk about for a few weeks about how God does lead us and guide us and teach us and keeps us and delivers us and instructs us and answers us and so on and so on and so on. We're going to look in the Word of God and find out what it teaches us. But before we do that, I need to share a warning with you that none of this is going to work. I don't care how many scriptures we read, none of it will work if something creeps up in our heart. We've got to be very careful when we are desiring to go in that correct direction with the Lord, in His guidance and direction and instruction and on and on. We've got to be very careful that when God begins to do those things, regardless of what area it is in our life, that we do not stop Him because of a stubborn heart. Did you know that God warns His own people about being stubborn concerning His will for their life? You say, where is that talked about? Let's go back to Psalm chapter 32, one of my favorite of the 150 Psalms, Psalm chapter 32. Now, this psalm gets real personal with us. David wrote it after paying a great price for seeking to hide his sin in the adulterous affair he had with Bathsheba and in the murdering of her husband. A great price. It cost him dearly. And God dealt with him. But after God dealt with him, David had one aim the rest of his life, and that was to be well-pleasing to the Lord. And he describes for us here in Psalm chapter 32 what happens when you live clean before the Lord. Nothing hidden, nothing camouflaged, nothing covered up, no more excuses. I mean, if you want to get down to it, David recognized how critical it is to deal not just with the sin, but also with the temptation that precedes the sin before it ever becomes sin. You know, I think some days a lot of us as Christians, we're just hoping one day the devil will get so tired of us and he'll move on to someone else and just leave us alone. Now, I got news for all of us. Read the Word of God. That's never going to happen. If you study in the New Testament, it makes it visibly clear to us that the devil is always moving in for the kill in our life. That roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I've had some scriptures sent to me early in the mornings these last several days, and it's all out of Ephesians chapter 6, reminding me. Well, let me not just try to remember the scriptures themselves. Let me just read them to you from Ephesians 6. These are just the two that I've received for the last 2 days. Put on the whole armor of God, the full armor of God, so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. David didn't have his full armor on. Neither do we sometimes. And that's when we get caught. The second scripture that came in this morning, to remember these words, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, a family member, a church member, we're not wrestling against those folks, though we get caught in that quagmire of thinking about a certain person and what they've done to us in life. Listen to what the Word says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. And it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who the real battle is with while we're still here on this earth. If you want to know what it means to put on the full armor of God, in fact, we might do a study in this soon. This just, for some reason, has been put before me in different ways in the last month or two. We need to know how to stand in these last days. But it's going to require that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not strong in ourselves. It won't work that way. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Do yourself a favor and take some time this week. Not to rush through, but to meet the Lord there as you're reading those verses, because He has given to us all the equipment that we need to stand, and having done all, the Bible says, to still be standing when all is said and done. So let's get back to Psalm 32. Once again, that just reminds me, never take the Word of God being placed before you as just, oh, that's just another Bible verse. I'll take a look at that later. Listen, the Lord is behind everything that goes on in your life, and I am learning more and more every day to take seriously, I don't care how God brings it to me, to stop and say, Lord, what are you wanting to teach me through this? I used to just look at things like that and thought, that's kind of interesting Bible verse, but I would just move on with other things. But now I'm seeing that He is 100% in with wanting to be involved in everything in our life. He knows where you're at, and don't be surprised when these verses just come out of nowhere in different ways, that God has your name on that truth that He's wanting to speak to you about. Psalm 32, though. And let me give you a quick outline of this chapter. We don't have time to get into all of it because there are several verses the Lord is directing us to today. But let me give you a quick outline of what this chapter is all about. And basically, you're going to see how God rewards repentant people, not people that hold on to their sin, but people who are repentant, broken, needing to change from the way they're living that is not bringing glory to God. So here we go. Verse 1 and 2. David tells us, this is where I am. And if you read this psalm, it's like in present tense form. I mean, it's almost like you're there when he's talking to you. It's not some story from way back where. No, it's something that he could proclaim in his life that very day he wrote this. So verses 1 and 2, he's telling us, this is where I am right now. If you get to verse 3 and 4, he's going to be sharing with you, this is where I once was. I mean, David laid it all out on the table. He was a man of integrity. He was after God's heart now, not his own heart. Thirdly, verses 5 through 7, this is how I got to where I am right now. He's going to tell you what he had to go through to get where he was when he wrote this psalm. And then you get to verse 8 and verse 9, he shares with us, this is how not to go back to where he once was. Did you get that? This is how for me, David said, for me not to go back to where I once was. And by the way, you're going to see it's not David's words. It's the words of the Lord. And then verses 10 and 11, he tells us this is the result of hearing. Now, hold on to this. We just spent a number of weeks studying this, and it just came to me. Verses 10 and 11 tell us this is the result of David hearing and obeying God. Isn't that amazing how God teaches us truths, principles in His Word, and we keep on studying down the line, and there it is again revealed. It's as if the Lord is putting His stamp of approval and saying, this is what it means to listen to me. So if you need help in how to keep from falling into the same trap over and over again and committing the same sins over and over again, you get convicted, you confess it, you feel like that God's cleaned you up, and then you travel right back down the same road and repeat it again and again and again, and you go, you know, I'm just stuck, Mark. I can't get out of this rut I'm in. Well, hang on, because verse 8 and verse 9 are going to tell us how to get out of the rut. But if you don't listen and obey what God tells us in verse 8, then the result of that is going to be verse 9. You say, well, what is that? Well, that's where we're headed right now. This is what blesses me in getting into the Word of God. Practical. Not just antiquated stories. It's there to give us hope. What does David say? Verse 8. No, this is not the words of David. How do we know that? Because the first word in verse 8 is, I will. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. David couldn't do that. I will counsel you. I will watch over you. David couldn't do that. This is God. This is the interruption of God in a psalm. Remember, we talked about, and we're going to get back to that study too, Psalm 46, where the sons of Korah just pouring out their heart about how God is our help, our refuge, our security, our peace in our lives. And then all of a sudden, verse 10, God comes in and God speaks. Hey, it's His word. He can do that anytime He wants. And you're His child, and He can speak to you anytime He wants. But remember, if you're going to listen to what He says, and your heart is saying, I will not do what He says, you really didn't listen to Him. And that's what drove Israel into captivity, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Because they would say, oh, we're listening to God. And God said, no, you are not, because you're not obeying me. And finally, God had His feel of it, and He had to take them away. But then remember the good part, God in His mercy and love brought them back and restored them. So here we go. The Lord says, I'll instruct you, I'll teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you and watch over you. Again, that's really not where we're headed. So we can't stay there long. We'll come back to that another day. This is the wonderful thing about the Word of God. You never can exhaust the Word of God. I will never lack for something to teach and preach the rest of my life, because you can't exhaust God's Word. The closer you get to Him, the more He reveals to you. I want to get to verse 9. Here's the warning. The Lord says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you and watch over you. But do not be like the horse. Do not be like the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Did you hear what God's saying? Don't be like the horse and the mule. Now, after telling us how we can walk in victory, God interrupts and He gives us a warning that we would do well to heed. He says, don't be like a horse. Don't be like a mule. Let's look at those two animals. What about a horse? A beautiful animal, but a wild animal. Left to itself, a horse would just run away. How come when you drive by all these places out in the country where horses are being taken care of, that there's got to be a fence around the perimeter of where those horses can go and cannot go? Because everyone knows they'd run away. That's their DNA. They're beautiful animals, but they're wild animals. They have a mind and a will of their own. They just want to run. They hate to be restrained. I wonder what a horse would say if it could talk. Because in order to restrain the horse and get it to do what you want it to do, that's what's talked about. They have to be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. You've got to pursue the horse. The horse is not going to pursue you. So think of the horse running wild. Now, when we think of someone running wild, we think of a rebellious teenager or a person down at the bar just making an absolute fool of themselves. That's not what this is talking about. Look at the second animal that's listed. The horse runs away. It says, don't be like the mule. A mule doesn't run away. A mule just refuses to even move. They're stubborn. They don't have any sense. When they don't get their way, what do? They kick. They love to fight. They refuse to move. They're stubborn. The horse, stubborn. God is saying, do not let your life become like a horse or a mule. Stubbornness, rebellious, resistant. Don't become difficult to manage in your life. Don't become difficult to work with, God is saying. Don't be headstrong and inflexible and stiff-necked and self-willed and hard-hearted. How do you get these animals to respond? It's called a harness to control them. A bit, a bridle, a whip, a spur, to force them to submit to man's will. Otherwise, you don't have control of these animals. Obedience is not even in their vocabulary. They're constantly having to be coerced. Why? Because they have no understanding. My wife has been into horses all of her life. She used to ride all the time. She's educated me about horses. We used to attend Tennessee walking horse shows for many, many years on Friday nights, where people that she knew were showing horses and riding these horses. Now, a lot of times, there would be tents set up where people were trying to sell things to the people that were in the business of raising horses, and there were so many things that were hanging around and on tables, and particularly the things that she educated me on were the bit and the bridle, believe it or not. Did you know a bit and a bridle? First of all, I never knew how expensive bits and bridles could be. And you can get them as expensive and as beautiful as you want. But let me tell you something about a bit and a bridle. They are not comfortable. They hurt. I'm going to ask you something. What if you had to get up every morning and put a bit in your mouth and a bridle around your head and your ears? God is saying to us, in as loving a way as He can, you can do it my way. Let me instruct you. Let me teach you. Let me guide you. Let me counsel you and watch over you. Or if you don't choose to live like that, keep this close to the vest, that God has ways with His children of getting our attention and our understanding. You can't fight God and win. You'll come up empty every time. I've just got this question for all of us, myself included today. When we have a stubborn streak in our life and don't want to listen to the ways of God, our flesh rises up, our attitudes and our actions rise up, our unforgiving spirits rise up. What will it take and what will God have to use to get our attention when we become His children filled with stubborn hearts? What kind of bit? What kind of bridle? What kind of suffering? What kind of judgment? You say, oh, but God is the God of love. Yes, He is. But God is also the God of discipline, but He only disciplines His children. You say, Mark, what do I do? I will encourage you today to pray about a stubbornness that can creep in and set up camp in our hearts if we're not careful. And if we are not daily listening to the Lord, hearing from the Lord, seeking to know the Lord and love the Lord and obey the Lord, that will happen on a consistent basis. Here's the prayer. Oh God, please take the wild, stubborn spirit out of my life. Take the horse spirit out of my life. Take the mule spirit out of my life. Because if you do it God's way, you're choosing blessing over bondage. And I'm going to conclude today with verse 10 and 11. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Did you hear that? The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Many are the woes of the sorrows of the wicked, meaning the calamities, the hard times, the troubles. It might be physical, it might be mental. There's different ways that these troubles set in into our lives because we've got a stubborn spirit, because sin brings sorrow into our life. The way of the transgressor is hard. You say, what's a transgressor? It's another word for a sinner, a person that's rebellious and resistant and defiant and deliberately doing what God says not to do. But he who trusts in the Lord, and by the way, God can be trusted. God is faithful. He surrounds us with His mercy, His unfailing love, surrounding us day and night, whether we're on a plane or a train, whether we're at home or out and away, whether we're going through sickness or in health, whether we're enjoying life or possibly having to face death. It's for time now and for eternity later. God's loyal love, His blessings. Remember what Psalm 23 verse 6 says, surely His goodness and His mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Where do you get promises like that from anyone else in this world? No one is able to fulfill that type of promise. Where would we be today without the promises of God? Promises that enable us to overcome committing the same sins over and over. What's the promises? Verse 8, go back and meditate. Pull over to the side of the road. Give God time to speak to you about what He would do in your life to keep you from going down into the pit. What temptation leads to in your life. Furthermore, just read Psalm 32 and look at what God brought David out of, and you'll say, I don't want to go there in my life. Well, guess what? You got to cling to the promises of God. Notice I said the promises of God. Not the promises of people. Someone might be saying, well, Mark, where are those promises? They're all through the greatest book that has ever been made available to our lives, the Word of God, the Scriptures, literally filled with thousands of promises, starting in Genesis all the way through the end of the Bible. Promises for you when you go through times of being discouraged, worried, lonely, angry, under condemnation, feeling confused, needing help in forgiving other people. Promises that tell you what to do when you need confidence in the Lord and assurance, a guide that you need when you need to hear what God is saying instead of what the noise of the world is saying. Many years ago, I was given a book entitled God's Promises for Your Every Need. That was one of the most life-changing books that's ever been placed in my hand. You know why? Because it's the promises of God. I think there are about 81 different subjects. There's no commentary, nobody's opinion. It's just the Word of God. I think you can buy them on Amazon for about $3.50 to $4. God's promises for your every need. I encourage you to find that book, read it, mark those in your Bible, begin praying through those promises, which are His promises, because He is seeking every day to draw us to stand on what He says, what His Word says, and not what the world says. Keep this in mind as we head out today. Your life is either conformed to the world or your life is conformed to the Word of God and what God says. And only you know the answer to that major issue in life. I pray today you've seen the value of spending time with God in His Word. You will not be satisfied in your life until you do. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. Listen to this now. In His presence, daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender, O Lord, I surrender all. And that is, I pray, a prayer that's coming from our hearts right now to you where you sit in the heavenlies. And thank you for your promise that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives till we dwell one day in the house of the Lord forever. And we pray this, O Lord, in your name. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. You can hear Dr. Howard every week right here on this podcast, where he'll be sharing a new message from God's Word that centers in the hope that you can find for your daily life in Jesus Christ. Should you have any questions about today's program or desire to share any prayer needs so that someone might pray for you this week, you may write us at There Is a Hope, P.O. Box 610, Bells, Tennessee, 38006. Or you may contact us by email at thereisahope@cccbells.net. And above all, it's our prayer that you remember that regardless of what you're facing in life today, there has been, there is, and there always will be a hope in Jesus.